Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dungeons and Dragons. At first regarded as a harmless game of make-believe, now has both parents and psychologists concerned. Studies have linked violent behavior to the game, saying it promotes satanic worship, ritual sacrifice, sodomy, suicide, and even murder.
Yeah, he seems really revved up tonight.
He's always revved up. We'll just act casual.
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 Right. Okay. Totally.
Society has to blame something. We're an easy target.
Exactly. We're the freaks because we like to play a fantasy game.
But as long as you're into band or science or panties or a game where you toss balls into laundry baskets.
You want something, freak?
Prick. It's force conforming. That's what's
killing the kids!
That's the real monster.
So, speaking of monsters, Lucas has to do his balls and laundry baskets game. So, he's not going to be able to make it to Hellfire tonight. And I know there's no way we can beat your sadistic campaign without him. So, me and Mike, we were talking, shooting the shit, and we were thinking that maybe we might... Postpone?
Postpone?
No.
Over my dead body.
Stop!
You saying Sinclair's been taken in by the dark side?
Something like that.
Something like that?
Jesus Christ.
And rather than find a sub for him, you want to postpone the cult of Vecna?
I don't want to postpone it. We don't want to postpone it. It's just that, you know, most of the subs will be at the championship game.
Oh, is the championship game?
Yeah?
Can I level with you? Jeff graduates this year. Garrett's got, what, a year and a half? Me, I am army crawling my way toward a DMS O'Donnell's. If I don't blow her final, I'm gonna walk that stage next month. I'm gonna look Principal Higgins dead in the eye. I'm gonna flip him the bird. I'm gonna snatch that diploma. I'm gonna run like hell out of here.
Stranger Things, the greatest show alive. All we can do is wait for season 5. I thought in the meantime that it might be fun to read every comic and book in what I call the Stranger Danger Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club. Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club.
Oh.
1, 2, 3, as the sun breaks above the ground, an old man stands on the hill. As the ground warms to the first rays of light, a bird song shatters the still. Everybody, his eyes are ablaze. See the madman in his gaze. Fly on your way like an eagle. Fly as high as the sun. On your way like an eagle. Fly, touch the sun. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, stranger friends, and welcome back to the Stranger Danger Book Club. Yes, in America right now, in the United States of America specifically, we're gearing up for tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving Day, which means for me a few things. Number one, I will be waking up early tomorrow morning to do a 5K race on Thanksgiving. They're called Turkey Trot, so that's what I'll be doing. Number two, then I will be enjoying a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner with my parents, well, my wife, my parents, my brother and his wife and their two kids, and my aunt and uncle. There will be turkey, there will be stuffing, there will be cranberry sauce, there will be football, and I'm making, and there will be pie. I'm supplying the pies, a pumpkin and two apples, and there will also be an appetizer. I was going to say hors d'oeuvre, but I was sure I was going to mispronounce it. The appetizer, okay, I'm trying for something different. It is this French baguette that I'm putting a spinach dip on. Nothing crazy there. But then I'm wrapping it in bacon. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm wrapping it in bacon. I'm going to cook the bacon. Then I'm going to put the stuff on the bread, wrap the cooked bacon around and put it back in the oven. The bacon drippings, the bacon goodness will drip into the bread. And there'll be something really worth, you know, thanking, being thankful for. And that is bread with bacon drippings. It can't get any better than that, or can it? Because I'm here to talk about the best thing of all, Stranger Things. Folks, I finally went, and I shouldn't say I finally went. I'm finally here talking about a book that I actually finished a couple weeks ago. It's just, I couldn't get the time to sit down and record. But now I'm on a nice 5-day weekend, and I thought, you know what, why not sit down before Thanksgiving and talk about the book that you read a few weeks ago. You got it, I think it came out on the 31st, which is Halloween, but I didn't start reading it for a couple days. I think I finished another book I was reading, and then finally I started this on the 4th. I think I actually started it during my trip, which I've talked about multiple times. I drove my mother-in-law from Massachusetts all the way to the state of Florida. And so the first day we actually made it to Virginia, we only stopped once. We made it all the way to the Jersey Turnpike. And, you know, I don't want to be crass, but let's just say that I needed to stop, okay? And it was a good thing I stopped, but it was the only time I stopped. Stopped in New Jersey, you know. Okay, I'll say it. I had a tinkle break, took my tinkle break. We walked my mother-in-law's dog, had a little lunch, and then boom, we were on the road again all the way to Virginia. Day two, which was on a Sunday, we left early and we ended early. We got to South Carolina. That was good enough for us. Made it in a little in the afternoon, got to kind of relax and didn't push it too much. And on the third day, we drove, you know, through Orlando, through Disney World, and made it down to Naples, Florida, where she is safely residing now. I spent a couple days there. And here's the thing, so we arrived on that Monday, and that was Stranger Things Day. And I remember saying, folks, I'm going to record something, and I'm going to get it to you on Monday. You have no idea how tired I was. and how I was going to say exhausted, but I believe that's the same thing as tired. I was very tired and very exhausted, so much so that I just repeated myself. And I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to record. And then I looked it up and I felt like, I mean, just to be honest, not enough happened for me to talk about it. It was just kind of, and there wasn't really much to talk about. Like, I think because of the actor strike and the writer strike, things got delayed so much. I mean, come on, our show. I mean, first it gets delayed for obviously a terrible thing, the pandemic. Now it gets delayed for a very important thing for writers and actors and all unions and all employees, you know, to kind of take a stand. The big strike, it's like they can't catch a break. The timing for these seasons are tough. But things are back. They're back on, they're back in session. I couldn't even think of what I was going to say, but that's, I think because of the delays, that's why there really wasn't much to do on Stranger Things Day, except celebrate the first four seasons, the previous four seasons, which is what they did. And I just thought it didn't quite warrant enough for me to do an episode when, again, I was so freaking tired. I really was. But what that did allow me to do was spend Monday evening chilling, reading on the outside her house. So she has this house. She has a little carport, but she doesn't pull the car up all the way, and it gives a lot of space. She has some chairs set out, and I sat outside. But it's Florida, but it was still a little chilly. I had a hoodie on the first night. And I just read today's book multiple, you know, I read it as much as I could before I fell asleep. And then Tuesday, read a little bit by the pool, read a little bit in the pool. But when you're down there in Florida and there's like old people and all they do is, and it's the same old people. I swear to God, this is like the third time in the pool. It's the same group. I just can't listen to old people talk about politics or current events like in a way that it's like they've never met, and it's like they're getting together every day to talk about like they're announcing the news to each other. It was so mind-numbingly monotonous that I didn't stay in the pool very long. I got out of the pool, went over to my chair and put my headphones on. I didn't play anything, just put them on to drown these people out so that I can continue to read today's book, which is Flight of Icarus by Caitlin Schneiderhan. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's Schneiderhan or Schneiderhan. I'm not entirely sure. But I'm finally here talking about it, and I really did enjoy this book. I'm not going to get into anything spoilery right away. I will warn you, when I do spoil things in the book, if you're worried about it, if you do want to read it or don't want to know anything about this book, it doesn't spoil anything for the TV show, really. Well, obviously not. But and if you do, there's nothing in the book where it's like, oh, no, I need to read this book in order to fill in certain blanks for the TV show. Nothing like that. It's just a nice companion piece to it. So I want to talk about that, and I will warn you for spoilers, but before I even get into that, I did get a couple voicemails that I wanted to talk about.
Hello, stranger friend. It is Alan, and yeah, I just have a story from my school. I'm not telling you my school, but it's in middle school, and I'm in eighth grade, and we had the football game. I'm not in it, but, and I remember, there's two stories in one. Our principal, who does like the like announcing, he's like, he said, here's some Mr. Principal's oldies, and he played some Metallica. I forget the song, but it was and then after that he said, and I just got about 50 text messages saying that stop playing the oldies, and I was just like, okay, well, this school is heartless. That's all. Bye. Don't have my guitar this time, though.
It's okay you don't have your guitar, Alan. I have some guitar here, some Maiden here playing for you. Metallica, oldies. You know, I remember making this joke to some people I know, saying, you know you're old when the classic rock that you grew up listening to became oldies, and the rock you grew up listening to became classic rock. But now it's to the point where, yeah, I mean, it is oldies. I mean, we're talking Metallica, their album was like 40 years old. That's oldies, okay? Because that's the equivalent of when I was in high school listening to something from the 40s. And you think about, oh no, the 50s. Which, again, I did. You know, my dad always had the oldies station playing. And it is oldies. But it's funny because it's like, even though, you know, they're old enough to be quote-unquote oldies, oldies are still considered like 50s and 60s. Like, it's almost a genre. And classic rock is like 70s, 60s, 70s, and somewhat in into the 80s now. Like, you don't think of grunge, the grunge era, as classic rock, but that's 30 years ago. So, I mean, it kind of is. But first of all, just real quickly, your principle sounds very cool, much cooler than Eddie Munson's principle over at Hawkins High. Now, Alan did send a second voicemail, and I'm not going to play it here only because it's just him playing Iron Maiden. It was on the radio, and it was from their 81 album, I think, 82, 81. I don't remember. I should know this. From their album Number of the Beast, the song The Number of the Beast, which is a classic song, and he was playing that, and I do appreciate it, Alan. I did listen to it, and I was singing along. Just wanted to let you know, I did get that message too, but I did get another voicemail from another regular. This one, we all know, this is Kennedy.
Hi, I guess my sister and me have been watching, season 3 over again. We've been rewatching because we figured out that the writer's strike has ended, and did the fact that I'm a cosplayer. We have this, I literally can't decide, due to the Max and Eleven scenes, do I do 11 and she does Max, or do I do Max and she does 11? Anyway, I have also been looking for more Keep Hoskes, and I found more. I found the Max one. She's still way too expensive, but I think she's going to be good. And I lower the price. And then I have both other Keep Hoskes of her and 11. And their mall outfits when they come out of the mall. In episode 3. Of season 3.
Kennedy, this message, the email came in after midnight. Did you send this really late? Because it sounds like you're about to fall asleep. Or it sounds like you're talking way later than you're supposed to be, and you're trying to make sure you don't wake up your parents and they don't hear you. I don't know. I was like, oh my goodness, this sounds... Is she falling asleep? And I looked at the email time. I was like, 12:26. What is going on? That's way past my bedtime. But to hear you saying that you're going to be doing cosplay. First of all, rewatching season 3, never a bad decision. But you said you're going to be doing cosplay, and you're not sure whether you want to be Max or 11. Well, I have an idea. Okay, be both. Like, if you can pull it off, if you have different events, sometimes you go as Max, she goes as 11. Sometimes you go as 11, she goes as Max. Or even go crazy and do one of those things where you put the costume half and half. So you're half Max, she's half 11, and she's half Max and half 11. You know what I mean? Like, you're half and half. I don't know. That seems like crazy, but like, you'd stitch the clothes together. That might be a little too artsy for some people. Like, what the heck are you? And you go, oh, we're Max and 11. Well, which one are you? I'm Max and 11. Which one are you? I'm Max and 11. Boom. You could be Max and 11 and Max and 11. You could be called Maximum 11. I don't know. But listen, if you want to be famous like Alan and Kennedy, you too can send in, or like you too can send in a voicemail message. Just go to Stranger... I almost said Stranger Things Podcast. I did. This is StrangerThingsPodcast.com. it goes to like some Full House thing. I think it's just a bunch of different podcasts that this website points to. But you can go to StrangerDangerPodcast.com/hotline and leave a message. You don't need to call on the phone. You don't need any special equipment. You can just, you go to this website, you press the button, you hit record, and it sends it to me. It's just that easy. So I wanted to talk quickly about, just give you some quick facts about this book before we, before I get into any spoilers, before I get into any specifics. So as I said, this book is titled Flight of Icarus. It's by Caitlin Schneiderhan. And I apologize if I'm butchering your name, Caitlin. But Caitlin Schneiderhan worked as an assistant to the Duffer Brothers for seasons 2 and 3 of Stranger Things. But for season 4, she was one of the staff writers in the writer's room. And I looked it up and it's like staff writers, they work in the writer's room. Like, I think maybe they're assisting the head writers, the main writers of episodes, kind of breaking down stories and coming up with ideas. That's at least my understanding. And I'm just wondering, you know, after this, I wonder if she'll be elevated to a you know, one of the head writers or one of the main writers for episodes in season 5. Be interesting to see if she is, and even if she is part of it. You know, I'm not sure at all. If I'm correct, this is her first novel, but Amazon is saying that she has a second book coming out in August of 2024 titled The Medici Heist. I hope I'm saying that's Medici, right? And then according to the Stranger Things wiki, she's actually responsible for creating the Stranger Writers Twitter account, at Stranger Writers, which as a fan, if you're online on Twitter, you know that is a great account to follow. Now, what I did want to talk about was the title of the book. What does Flight of Icarus have to do with, you know, Eddie Munson or anything? Well, first of all, Flight of Icarus is, it's referencing Icarus from Greek mythology. Icarus had these wings made of feathers and wax, and he was warned by his father, Daedalus, you know, do not fly too close to the sun. And of course, he flies too close to the sun, his wax wings melt, he falls, he dies, all that stuff. And I think that basically, if you ever heard the symbolism, like, oh, you flew too close to the sun, it's like, almost like, don't push it, don't, because you might go too far, you might lose it, you might lose it all. And I think that kind of fits into the story here. Again, I'll go into that a little bit in a few minutes, but even better than the mythology. Yeah, yeah, everyone loves Greek mythology, yada, yada. But Flight of Icarus, the actual title, Flight of Icarus, is a tremendous Iron Maiden song from their 1983 album, Peace of Mind. It is the song that has been playing in the background for this entire episode, the song that I was singing at the beginning. Fly as high as the sun. It's got a tremendous chorus. Of course, Iron Maiden is my favorite band of all time. I've seen them countless times. The last time I saw them live, they played this song. That was back in 2022. I saw them play it in 2019. And hopefully I'll see them play it again next year, because I'm going to see them next year. I think that's going to be the 13th time I've seen them. I don't know. I've seen Iron Maiden in concert since I was in high school. Since 1991 was the first time I saw them. So I just thought it was a tremendous choice because of the symbolism of Icarus as to Eddie Munson, and also because it was an Iron Maiden song and Eddie Munson loves playing heavy metal. Now, that going forward, I am going to spoil this story. So this is your warning. Coming up, we're talking Flight of Icarus, full spoilers.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, you've been warned. Going forward, I'm going to be talking more specifically about this book, what I liked and what I didn't like about it. So you have been sufficiently warned. So I'm going to talk about the plot of this book. It takes place around the time of Stranger Things 1. And you know this because they reference a little bit of what's going on. You know, so Eddie is right now in the book, okay, and forgive me if I get this wrong, because I'm going strictly off memory now. But Eddie is in his senior year, and you think of the timing of this, and it kind of stands to reason that he misses a year. He doesn't finish this year. He has to make up this year, and I think he stays back again. So in the timeline, it does allow for the freshmen, our friends, our stranger friends, to catch up to him in the end. But he is, he still lives at home. We learn more about his parents. Again, I'm spoiling this. So we learn that his mother, you know, passed away. And we learn that his father is kind of he's a criminal. And he floats in and out of town. He's here sometimes, he's gone sometimes. So Eddie is pretty much on his own, but he does have his uncle. Uncle Wayne still comes and checks on him, fills his, you know, his cupboard, fills his, stocks his fridge, makes sure he's taken care of. He has a best friend, this girl that lives in the trailer park that Wayne lives in, but he doesn't live there yet. Now it works out because you think, how does he have this best friend who no longer there? Again, I'm spoiling things. This is a girl that, things happen in the book that kind of distances them, but it doesn't fully distance them. But you know that this girl ends up graduating and moving on while Eddie stays behind. But why do they call it Flight of Icarus? Because what did he go for, but he didn't quite get? And what this story is about, in a nutshell, is Eddie is in high school. He's got the Hellfire Club going, and he also has his band. Now, we never see his band. They mention his band, but we never actually see him with the band. We see the band playing in the garage, but Eddie, of course, is hiding by then. And the band Corroded Coffin, right? God, I should know these things. But again, it's a heavy metal band. We learn that Eddie works in a bar, and once a week they allow the band to play there. He meets this girl who graduated and came back for her grandmother's funeral, and find out that she actually works in a record label, and that she is interested in Eddie and Eddie's band. And it's like Eddie, they have a chance to go big. And some of the kids are into it. Some of them are a little frightened. Some of them are into it more than others. But Eddie wants to go for this. But when doing this, you need some money. And it turns out at the same time this is going on, Eddie's dad flies back into town. And he kind of sucks Eddie in to this scheme to make some money. This is where I was like, oh, I don't know if I like this. I didn't love the fact, and again, I'm spoiling it, so you be warned, that they're basically, the dad found out about this drug running. They're basically moving marijuana from one part of the country to the other. This criminal does this. And the dad wants to rob them. Wants to rob them just enough of this weed to pay some money, to pay off some money. And Eddie realizes how much money he might need in order to make a demo for his band, in order to get out to California. So he's in on this. And at the same time, he's trying to maneuver, he's trying to kind of get his band going. He's also trying to spend time with his dad, keep this from his friends, of the fact that he's working on this this crime. And I'm reading this in the airport, like the crime stuff, heading back to Boston. And I didn't love the fact that Eddie was like doing this crime. But then you kind of realize, well, A, he's still a kid, and he got sucked in by his dad. He got played by his dad, kind of, pretty much. And when things didn't go quite right, things felt good for a while, but when they didn't, when they went sideways, his dad, he bailed on him, and he left him behind in Hawkins. And Eddie, at one point, he you're like, how does he get back from this? Hellfire is going to be disbanded, and he's dropping out of high school. And you're like, how does he come back from this? And it does kind of get you back into where things were left off. And you do realize when we meet Eddie, he was dealing drugs. He was dealing drugs out of his trailer, and he worked with Reefer Rick. And so we do meet Reefer Rick in this book. And one thing I think, it seems like all these books nail this, and Caitlin Schneiderhan nailed this too, is the voice of the character. I remember reading that Darkness on the Edge of Town, is that what it's called? The Hopper book. And every line I could picture Hopper saying it. And the same with this. All of these lines, I could see Eddie. I could picture him saying this. I could see him. There was this whole thing of fight or flight. And we know that, you know, he talks about Eddie Munson always, he brings this up where he wants to, leave and not go through with things. You remember that in the series. And some of that holds up here, but he does kind of do the right thing to stick up for his fellow Hellfire Club. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the good things you see in Eddie, because obviously Schneiderhan worked on the series, on the season that introduced and brought Eddie Munson to the world. So, you know, outside of that writer's room or inside, you know, outside of the writer's room, she knows him more than anybody. And it showed because how good she could write this. And you obviously realize this is an official book. So it's not like she's going off and being like, I'm going to make him steal drugs and all these things. No, you could see that there's a reason why the town looks at him like they do, like the school and the principal, and people see this because of his name. And, you know, it's not as far-fetched as you'd think it would be for an 18-year-old kid and his dad to do this robbery when the dad's, you know, kind of, not a great individual. You know what I mean? So while I was reading it, I was like, I don't like Eddie doing these things. But that's because of the Eddie we know and the Eddie we met in season 4. But that was Eddie kind of evolving. You know, we saw him, he was a nice guy, he was friendly, and he was, you know, very protective of his group, but he was also, you know, dealing right out of his trailer. So he wasn't a perfect angel, and he was doing whatever he needed to get by, and that's kind of what this was, where he, this whole flight of Icarus, this whole flying too close to the sun, like he tried to make things work so much that he did this big robbery to get this money. And it didn't work out. And he blew it. He almost blew it with his friends. He blew it with the girl that he was starting to date, that he was from the record company. Like, and it just kind of, and his dad left him. He left him in a lurch. He was worse off than he was at the beginning, when at certain points it seemed like he was going to be a rock star. But it's like, at what cost? He was going to leave his friends behind. And he was like, I need to try this. I need to do this. But then it all kind of blew up in his face. So I think it's okay that I didn't like that Eddie was doing this, because it's part of the story. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Like, it, when I'm reading, I'm going, oh, I don't like this. I don't want him doing this. I'm not a fan of this. But it's not because, I'm not saying I don't like the book. I'm like, oh no, Eddie, don't do it. I realize I'm rooting for this guy that I know to not do these things that he's getting sucked into. And I think that actually made it even more successful the more when I look back on it, that it makes it, you know, the book is doing exactly what I think it wants to do. It's making you kind of the reader see this guy and be like, no, don't do it, Eddie. Don't do that. Don't fall for this. Don't do this. And you know, because of the Eddie we meet, you know that none of this is going to work out. You just don't know how exactly we're going to get there. And, you know, that's kind of the plot of the story. How do we get from this kid we think we know that goes through this crazy stuff and then, but not crazy to the point where you'd be like, how could this happen in this town? I mean, there was a shooting that I thought this didn't come up at all, but obviously, you know, there's Chief Hopper had other things going on. So it is imaginable that all of these things could have happened without any of it touching or rubbing up against, you know, the story that we know going on in Hawkins. But there were things that were still, I think they mentioned Barb. Yep, I'm pretty sure. They mentioned the Byers kid being missing a couple times. Hopper was brought up. Not a ton. Like, I don't think Steve was mentioned at all. None of the other kids were mentioned at all, because why would they be? They're not in the group yet. Some of the people in Hellfire we didn't know because they graduated. Some of them we did know or were joining. Same with the band. And I do like at the very end, we do see Eddie stand up for someone we do know, Will Byers, because we get a scene where Eddie is at a record store flipping through records, and in walks Jonathan and Will. And this is after the events of Stranger Things 1, where these a-holes come in and they start calling him Zombie Boy. Well, Jonathan doesn't want to leave Will alone for 2 seconds, but he does to go in the back to get some special records. Will's like, I'm fine. But you could see he was left behind with these bullies. And Eddie is right there doing, you know, at first doing nothing, but he finally kind of speaks up and he kind of stands up for Will. And they have a little connection where he's like, you know, hey, you know, don't worry about things. And like he kind of says, hey, he thinks he's pretty cool. He thinks Zombie Boy is a pretty kick-ass nickname. So, but you realize these two characters never interact after that, because Will moves off to California and he never gets to realize that Eddie is so cool, and he never gets to join Hellfire Club. So it was a nice kind of bookend, bringing in characters we know, but in a way that doesn't take away anything from future seasons of the show. It sees that they did crisscross, but it doesn't, you know, it just in a logical way that makes sense. I think that's what I'm trying to say. So all in all, a very enjoyable book. And the parts that I didn't like about it, I think were things that were designed to make me not like that. Like, it was almost done in a way that I thought was, you know, like done good. If that makes any sense. One other thing I want to say, because I was just quickly looking at the Caitlin Schneiderhand wiki page, and you know, I said, hey, maybe someday she'll get her name written on an episode written by. Well, it turns out she already did. She wrote The Monster and the Superhero. So yeah, my apologies. She wrote episode 3. So there you go. Directed by Sean Levy. So, gee, I hope she makes it to a thing she's already made it to. That's me, though. Classic podcasting Mike, you know, kind of quickly looks at something and says, well, I've researched it. But whatever this does, if she continues to write for Stranger Things, great. If she doesn't, I know there's another author out there where I'll be like, well, I want to read that. I want to read the next thing. And I don't know if it looks like her next book is geared towards young adults. Look, I have the mindset of a young adult, so I don't mind reading books like that. So I've followed her on Amazon so I can see future books from her. And that's it. I think I'm done. I need to get to bed. You may not have noticed an edit, but well, I tried it to make it very seamless. But my wife popped out and says, I thought you were going to bed early. I said, I am going to bed. I just got to get this episode done. She's like, you got to get up early. You got a big race tomorrow. No, look, it's a race. I shouldn't say it's a race. A race is something you could win. I'm doing a 5K run. I'm not going to come close to winning, but I am going to finish. And I'm going to get a t-shirt. So that's the most important thing. And then I'm going to come home. I'm going to make my appetizer and I'm going to have some turkey. Yes, yes, yes. Once again, I want to say thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you so much for continuing to support Stranger Danger. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. And I think that's it. A special thank you to Alan and Kennedy for their voicemails. Go to StrangerDangerPodcast.com to find every episode of Stranger Danger. And of course, there's a link on every episode and a link at the website where you can leave a voicemail message. And that's it, my friends. You can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality. You can find the show on Twitter at StrangerDPod, on Instagram at StrangerDangerPod, and on Threads at StrangerDangerPod. But you can find me everywhere at Geek Mentality. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Flight of Icarus. Happy Eddie Munson. And remember to stay stranger, my friends, and also read. I love reading. I hope you love reading too. You know why? Reading is fundamental, and you can't spell fundamental without F-U-N. Goodbye.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow, a reading rainbow,
a reading rainbow. Fans, not experts.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.